gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1309. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me on this episode is Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing? A couple technical difficulties, but we're back.
Yeah, people were saying I sounded like a robot.
I just think you sound like an a-hole, but that's just
wow. Wow. Jeez. My God, gotta be nice, bro. It's not cool, man. But, Paris, we got to talk about, man. I'm waiting for a couple of games coming up this month. So we have Lords of the Fallen. Forgot about that one. There's Alan Wake 2, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Sonic Superstars. Is there anything else I'm missing? We already have Spider-Man. We already got that. But
yep, Spider-Man 2, City Skylines 2.
City Skylines, that's another one.
There's something else. And I was like, the Metal Gear collection.
Well, I'm not a Metal Gear guy, so I'm kind of like...
You just said, this is what he does. Like, you start naming games. I didn't say it was for me. I'm just letting you know it's coming.
All right. I'm just saying it's not for me.
Because guess what, Danny? It's for somebody.
I know it is for somebody, right. But not for me.
So be nice.
I am very nice. I'm just having a conversation. I'm just letting you know that I'm not into it. So, okay. Yeah. It's all good.
It's been 18 years. It's just
look, man. You see all this gray hair? You see all this gray hair? Blame Paris. The stress, man. Every year, especially during like summer, because the Summer Game Fest or E3, the stress level is high. Shout out to Paris. All right, everyone. Head over to GameAttackRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. And if you can, share the content with your friends, family. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Search for Gamer Tag Radio and subscribe, follow us, post a review. Also, be part of our poll. You want to hear the poll from last week, the results, Paris? You want to hear that one?
No.
No? Okay, I'm still going to read it to you. All right. So last week it was a pretty good conversation that we were having about digital games and physical games. So I was like, you know what? I think this is a great question for our fans. Do you prefer physical copies or digital games? 64.7% says digital. 35.3% says physical.
It should be higher.
So it should be higher, but it's declining. It's declining. Like even I has asked the same exact question on Twitter, bro. It was like 4 days straight of people just replying, and it looked like it was more digital than physical. And people saying the majority of them said, "Look, I'll buy physical if it's something that I want to collect. I want to keep it there. But if it's like constantly every time there's a new game, buying a new physical game, the percentage is very, very low on that one.
Yeah."
So, yeah. Actually, when was the last time we bought a physical game?
I can tell you the last physical game I have is Cyberpunk 2077 for Xbox. That's the last one. That was 2020.
You know what? I just remember mine. I bought, but this again, this is a collector's edition. I just bought Tetris Effect Connected. It's like a collector edition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like somewhere in the back here, but it's pretty big, and it comes with one physical game and a bunch of other cool stuff. But that was the last one that I got. That was recent. So, all right. So, based on the conversation today, we're also going to have a new poll. So, make sure to go to Spotify if you're there and be part of our conversation there too, man. So, also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so here's the thing. We have two games we're going to be talking about today that we've been playing, and this is a review. But it's a very interesting conversation because, one, we're going to start with Assassin's Creed Mirage. You okay with that, Paris?
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. So I love Assassin's Creed. I love the previous games. I feel like those games were really way too long for me. Because they added these RPG elements in the game that was just too much for me. It was just too long. And the grind, it was hard for you just to level up. I prefer the old way, the old school, but I get it. Sometimes you have to, if you're a developer, you want to try new things. You can't just keep the same formula for years. You know, it's going to get old and boring after a while, you know? So I played Assassin's Creed Mirage. I love that it's taking it back to like the old way. And of course it has like the skills elements in there too. You could upgrade your character and everything, but plus the game, I believe is like, it's not that long compared to the previous ones. I think this is like a good, maybe 15 hours, 14 hours, something like that. Some people said 10, but, the story wasn't for me. I don't know what, I don't know. Maybe I just found it boring or what. I just love the location, back to Baghdad. Awesome. Looks great. Great location. But the story didn't hit me as previous games, Assassin's Creed. And I wonder if you felt the same. I think this is a decent game, not a bad game. And that's it for now. And I'll, based on the conversation, I'll continue. But yeah, it was meh for me.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was just okay. I mean, it was decent. You know, it's a good game. It's not bad by any means. The story, excuse me, to kind of give the backstory on this, the story is lackluster because this was supposed to be basically a DLC or an expansion to Valhalla. So this is why the story isn't really advancing anything. And this is why the experience is so short, because this started off as DLC and then they kind of expanded it out into a full game. I'd like to return to classic Assassin's Creed versus, because I think this is the way I look at it. By the time we got to Syndicate, the classic way of doing Assassin's Creed, because they were doing it too much, it was like coming out every freaking year, it seemed like. So it was just like, okay, we need a break from this. So then you take a break from it. You go to the open world RPG style of Origins, Odyssey, which I really enjoyed Odyssey. But then when we got to Valhalla, it was like, bro, it was too much. I was like, now I'm getting burnt down on that. Now let's do something different again. So this was a nice change of pace. I would hope moving forward, like I think if someone jumps into Mirage, this is their first Assassin's Creed experience, they're going to really enjoy it. They're going to love the assassinations, the stealth, everything that comes with that. I think moving forward, yeah, let's do, because I know Assassin's Creed Red is coming. Let's kind of mix it up. Go back and forth. Let's do an open world RPG styled Assassin's Creed, but then let's have the classic traditional style that we have with something like Mirage as well. That way it doesn't become stale. That way it doesn't become so bloated and overblown. Clearly Ubisoft is not going to stop making Assassin's Creed game, but I think moving forward, kind of balance between the two would be the preferred way. But like I said, Mirage is decent. It's a good game. Again, because it's a shorter experience, you won't be upset with your time with it. But I would say with all the other games that are out right now, it's definitely not going to be my first choice to run out and go play. If you're hardcore into Assassin's Creed, especially traditional Assassin's Creed, it'll be worth your time.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, do you think because of the amount of games that we play this year, and a lot of them are really, really good, you think that affected the...
Yes, 100%.
The game?
Yeah. 100%. And it's just the unfortunate thing of 2023. There's so many other things that are trying to grab your attention right now that if this... Let's put it this way. If this would have come out last year, I think it would have been more highly received, in my opinion. And again, the reviews aren't terrible. It's just okay. Whereas last year, I think this would have leaned more towards... go play it experience. This is a game that you want to go to, because there just wasn't as much out last year as there is compared to this year, where there's just so many like legitimate game of the year contending games that are out right now that I don't want to say not waste my time with this, but I'm going to say, why am I wasting my time with this when I should be go playing this other game? You know what I mean? That's yeah. kind of where we are this year.
I mean, the feedback that I've seen from people that been waiting for this game for a while, they're excited. Like, people are loving it, mm-hmm. you know? I felt like it was just an Assassin's Creed game. Like, it wasn't anything new to me besides going back to the basics.
Yeah.
Back to, like, the old way. And also the location is really, really dope. Like I said, I just wish that, okay, let me ask you this. Do you think by having maybe a new engine, do you think that's going to help? Do you think it's more of trying out new stuff?
Uh-huh.
Or, because here's the thing, doing the one, like from like the previous games, like it was just too long. The grind was too much. And a lot of people stopped playing after a while because the game was just too long, right? But then you have others that will say, wait a minute, but Mirage is maybe 10 to 15 hours. Isn't that too short? But here's the thing. I don't mind short games. As long as the experience is pretty good, the story is good, and I have a great time, I'm okay with it. You don't have to have a 60-hour game to make something good, because it's not about how long it is. It's about the experience overall for me. And I just didn't get that. Even with the short experience with Assassin's Creed, I didn't get that at all. And I was excited because I thought it was going to be something new. This is like, what, the isn't it the 20-something anniversary of Assassin's Creed or something like that? They're celebrating? Or is it more?
07 is what it was. 07 was the first one. So 2027 will be 20 years.
2027, we go. Yeah, but it's almost there. I know they're celebrating. They're making a lot of like games. I know you mentioned Red. There are also the mobile games and other stuff. So I don't know. I think it's one of the biggest games for Ubisoft, of course. So there, I don't see the company stopping making Assassin's Creed games. But I think it needs something new to get me back into it.
Here's what I think. I think Mirage is a stopgap to kill time to get to Red and the rest of the stuff that they're planning. So they didn't want too big of a gap of not having Assassin's Creed in the conversation. So this is why you got Mirage, to kind of kill time, get something out that is still Assassin's Creed, that is a decent Assassin's Creed experience, so they can get to Red. That's what I think. Because Red's probably, what, 2025? Something like that, right? It won't be next year. So they didn't want too big of a, because Valhalla was 2020. They didn't want to go 5 years without Assassin's Creed. That's what I think is happening here with Mirage. And again, it's not bad. It's just not this, oh my God, game changing. We've never seen Assassin's Creed this way experience. It's just kind of getting back to basics. And like I said, if this is someone's first time in Assassin's Creed, you know, it's enjoyable. And, you know, and it's just as simple as that.
Question, do you like to see a first person Assassin's Creed? Do you think that will make sense for a game like that?
I don't think so. No, I think it needs to stay third person, because I think the sneaking up part, and you see the animations with the stealth and the assassinations is part of the appeal to it. So no, I don't think a first person view would work in this scenario.
Yeah. Okay. No, because I thought about Cyberpunk and all these other games. I'm like, hey, that would be cool. Because you can change cameras.
Yeah, because what would happen is you'd be in first person, and then when you assassinate someone, what's probably going to happen, the camera's going to switch to third person anyways, because they're going to want to show you the assassination.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So might as well just leave it third person. Plus the parkour and all, because what is it? Dying Light 2 does the parkour, like you can do it in first person. No, it's not for me.
I like it.
I'm like, I'd rather it be third person, but that's just me.
All right. Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. The new thing that I like from the past few Assassin's Creed, when they add like the museum where you learn the history about the location, I think that's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. And I wish more games would add that. When you see that, like, let's say if it's a real location, it makes sense to have like a museum and check out the locations and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really, really cool. Really, really cool. I think the one that I used the most was it Origins that started?
I was going to say Origins is Egypt is the best one. In Egypt, my opinion.
That was
Odyssey was decent with Greek mythology and everything, but I love Origins the most when it came to that.
Yeah. Anything else, Paris, about Assassin's Creed?
No, Mirage? No. I think that's it.
Yeah, and look, usually when we do reviews, we don't like talking about the story because I want people to just play themselves and just enjoy it. You know, no spoilers, that type of thing. It's always been our style. So, and we're gonna do the same when we review Spider-Man. We're not gonna say anything. It's just strictly our experiences.
Well, this next game, I'm gonna go 100% spoilers on the story.
Are you for real?
Yes. This next game. The one we're about to talk about right now, 100% spoilers. Oh,
100% spoilers. Yeah, you know what? Spoilers, let's go. Yeah. Let's talk about Forza Motorsport.
Here's a spoiler. You get in the car and you race it around the track.
And there's a lot of curves. A lot of curves. Yeah. I was like, wait, Paris, spoiler Spider-Man? What are you talking about? That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. First thing. Before we even talk about the game, Paris, I need to know the experience you have in Las Vegas because I was a little hurt.
Wait, is it here? Crap! I'd have to run out the room. I got my helmet. They sent me my helmet, so I have the racing helmet. I got the helmet and I got the jacket and the gloves. Because they mailed it to us, so we didn't have to take it on the plane. It's not in the room. I have it in the other room.
Yeah, but, so how was that?
It was an amazing experience. You know, shout out to Turn 10 and Xbox for inviting me out to Las Vegas. I was out there for 3 days, and we got to go out on the racetrack, and we raced a Cadillac V. We did like a timed cone challenge, and then we got in the Corvettes, and we were actually out on the track, like you're in Forza, because I even said it at one point. It felt like. Like, I was like, oh, this is what I do in the game. Like, when you take curves a certain way and you brake and accelerate and all that. It's a very fun experience. And we did it two different ways where I got to drive and we had like an instructor in another car ahead of us leading us. And he's like, he has a mic and he's talking to us and telling us, all right, you're going to want to brake here. You want to accelerate here. So to kind of lead us through. And by the end, I mean, we're just like really going. That was a lot of fun. And then we did one where I was a passenger with the instructor, and oh my God, I didn't think cars could do this. Like
how fast was it?
I don't even know how fast it was, but it was way faster than we were doing. And we're hitting these turns at like full speed and just, you just hear the and smoke coming. Like it was crazy. It was fun as hell. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And then
that's very cool.
Then we actually played the game itself at the event, but it was more like just during the preview period because it was so funny. Like you had a review code before I did because I was event. Yeah. So we did that. We did like a mixer event because it was probably about 40 people total because there was a lot of international people that came in as well. So we did like a mixer thing the night before. So we got to meet everybody. You know, me and Snowbike Mike were there hanging out. Justine and her sister were there. I got to meet your average consumer. I had this first time meeting him. He's a really cool tech content creator. He's really dope. Amazing. Go check out his YouTube channel. Austin Evans was there hanging out with him. But it was fun. It was a fun time. It was Xbox France was there. So they had brought some French creators there. Me and Mike were talking to them, hanging out. It was a mix of racing enthusiasts. There were some tech YouTubers, you know, like I just mentioned. Honestly, me and Mike were like the only like gaming creators that were there. Everyone else was like either racing or they're like these tech enthusiasts. Obviously the big ones, I got like a million plus subscribers, stuff like that. But very fun experience in Vegas, being able to get behind the wheel and do all that. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, it hurts. I got invited, but hey, I declined for good reasons. So, I'm glad that Paris had a great time. And no love to Gary.
Yeah.
Gary.
Now, let me say this because people, I don't think everyone gets it because we did XCast this week and Gary was extra grumpy on there. It was a bit. We knew he was going to do that. He said it ahead of time. He was poking fun at the whole process. He was not serious at all. Gary may say some crazy stuff, but he was not serious at all on that. That's why if you watch it or listen, I'm laughing the entire time.
he knew you guys went?
No, he didn't. No, that was real. He did not know Mike and I went. Again, I give inside baseball on all this. Originally, I knew I was going and Mike wasn't going. And I'd even told him, oh, hey, I'm going to miss this episode because I'm going to be in Vegas doing this Forza thing. And then kind of almost last minute, Mike was like, oh, shit, I get to go, too. So then he went. So it was cool that we both got to go. And then, yeah, Gary did not get the invite. And I was even saying to people at Xbox when we were there, I was like, when Gary finds out that we're here, he is going to go ballistic. And that's exactly what happened.
That's so funny.
Funny. Very funny.
That's funny. That's funny. But this is not going to change our review, you know, about the game at all. It's just, I just wanted to have this conversation with Paris about, you know, about the experience of what, you know, about the whole thing. So, and I'm jealous, you know, he was there. I wasn't there. It's all good. But I'm dying to see the helmet. You have you taken a picture of it?
Yeah, there's pictures online. I'm at the event. Pay attention. Look, since you love
it's too far. It's so far.
You love to pay attention to my tweets, why don't you pay attention to that one? You're always calling out what I tweet.
Because it's the helmet is so far, you can't really see what's, you know. Or get a better camera, one of the two. Taking pictures.
Yeah. I can run out the door and go get it right now.
See, get a professional photographer like us, man. Paris, you know, that's who you need to get.
Or you could have just went to the event. You'd have your own helmet. How about that?
Well, I couldn't go.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I had to decline.
Yeah,
I had to take care of my wife.
I just saw what your wife.
I had to take care of my wife. We're having a baby. Not gonna leave her. Wow, yo. Paris is mean. No, but honestly, Paris, let's talk about Forza, yeah, mm-hmm. Forza Motorsport. Mm-hmm. So we played there's like a demo that people had an opportunity to play it at home. And we also got to play it in person at the museum over here in Los Angeles. It's the Peter, what's the name of the museum? The car museum, the automobile museum.
Peterson Auto Museum.
Peterson Auto.
Get it right. Come on.
Hey. All right. So I had a good time. With it. I think I got into the point that I think I'm more of a fan of Forza Horizon. I like Motorsport. Don't get me wrong. Love the game. It's just not my type of style anymore because I'm more of our arcade versions, like you know, Project Gotham. You know, there's people that love Gran Turismo. It's not for me, that type of thing. But I know that the fans that love these type of sim car games, they're going to love Forza Motorsport. The game looks fantastic. I played it on PC and also Xbox. The PC version, because I have the ultra wide screen. Oh my God, Paris, it looks fantastic. Especially when you go into the cockpit and just first person on that one. Close up widescreen. Ooh, it looks fantastic. Fantastic. I played it more on the PC than the console. I was trying, when we got the code early, I was trying to play the multiplayer version because I know we had that conversation with the folks at Turn 10, like how this one's going to be different than the previous games. I couldn't find anyone because this is during the time when I had the game really, really early. So I was going to wait until now. But I haven't had a chance to play multiplayer. Maybe you have. We could talk about that. But overall, like, I think the game is good. I like it. It's just not my type of style anymore. And I just want to hear if you feel the same about it, too.
No, I don't feel the same way that you do.
Okay.
Because I like sim racing. I'm definitely more of a Forza Motorsport fan than I am a Forza Horizon fan, and they're both great. Don't get me wrong, but I do like more of the sim experience. And you know, we've talked about this during the preview and all this, but the way now with Forza Motorsport, this version of Forza Motorsport, which obviously, you know, you've had previous editions that done similar things, is being able to just scale up the difficulty of what you can as far as making it a sim experience, just a complete 100 sim experience where you got the Logitech G923 wheel with the cockpit and you're sitting here with the pedals and everything's simulated, the real physics, tires, fuel, all that, weather effects, everything. Or you can scale it back and make it more of an arcade experience where you're just getting in the car and you're just racing around. So I really appreciate that about what this game is able to do. My thing is, not everybody's going to be a fan of the single player experience of the initial Builder's Cup, the way that the progression works now. I like parts of it where you do feel rewarded the more that you're driving the car. You can every lap see if you're increasing, you know, your efficiency versus the last time, timing, things like that. I'm a fan of that. But not everyone's going to like that. Now it's the car XP that's going to allow you to buy the parts to tune your car. But then I do like the fact that they can simplify the tuning experience where you just add the part in. You can compare it to the other one. Oh, this is an improvement over the other one. All right, I'm going to buy this and put it in, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But not everybody's going to like that. I totally get that. Where Forza Motorsport shines is in the multiplayer, 100%. I mean, being able to jump in real multiplayer matches, and now that I think early access is out now. So early access, and obviously the full release will be out next week. It's going to be even better. It's a mix of obviously real people that you're racing against and the driver avatars. I know there's been some complaints about the avatars, the AI, you know, not being as good as they're expecting to be. But even that in the single player experience, you can kind of scale the way that the drivatars work. But in the multiplayer, you don't get that option. I think as more people start playing, basically, because it is AI, it is machine learning, as the drivatars start to learn more patterns and things, you're going to see them be a little more competitive as well. 24 people can get in a multiplayer match. Past Forzas, where especially when you're doing the AI stuff, it just felt like bumper cars. This is feeling more like a true racing experience when it comes to that. I love racing at night. Racing at night with weather on, and I think, God, who was it? Because Aaron Greenberg had tweeted someone that posted a video showing them racing at night with full heavy rain going. So good. Mm-hmm. From a visual standpoint, looks really good. Like yourself, I play primarily on PC. I did play a little bit on the Series X and just a tiny bit on the S just to check it out. But I've really not enough to give a true, opinion on the S. But from everything I've heard, it's perfectly fine. But yeah, clearly on PC, visuals are fantastic. Just playing, above 60 frames, obviously the ray tracing, just everything that you can do on PC looks fantastic playing on a 4090. But the Series X is fine. Of course you see certain people online that try to have blurry photos and make comparisons. Like, why even compare this to Gran Turismo? It's pointless at this. Yeah. Gran Turismo 7 came out well over a year ago. Yes, I get they're racing, but they're on different platforms. They both look good, in my opinion. I don't know why people have to try and compare visuals of the games. They're just simply doing different things. But from a visual standpoint, looks great on the Series X. Like I said, obviously looks amazing on PC as well. But like I said, getting to some of these multiplayer matches and my one other critique of it is with this, because now and if you remember, we talked about this in 2020 when they originally unveiled the Series X. We had Aaron Greenberg come on. Mm-hmm. And when they showed off Forza they're calling it Forza Motorsport because this is more of a platform now than being Forza 8, where it's almost like a live service game in that way, where they're going to be adding, because they've already kind of laid out a roadmap of events. They're going to be adding new tracks. They're going to be adding, there'll be new cars they'll add over time. So I'm judging it on what it is right now at launch, but this game will evolve and grow over time with more content. And going back to the multiplayer aspect of it, like I said, these live events where all the settings are all the parameters of the race are already set for you as far as the difficulty, physics that are on, just the weather, all these things are already set. That's going to be a lot of fun to do, excuse me, against other people. Like I said, as time goes on, as more people get online and start playing it. So overall, I think if you're in the cars, if you love cars, number one, and you know you're into the true sim racing experience, then yeah, go pick up Forza. You're gonna love it. And obviously, if you got Game Pass, it's a no brainer. Go check it out. Oh yeah. You know, at least go check it out. Even if you're a novice as well, just check it out and see if it's for you. Scale up the difficulty, you know, as you see fit.
The game looks beautiful. Like, this is a fantastic looking game. You know, now I was playing performance mode the whole time. Mm-hmm. Did you change it? Because are you a performance guy? Do you like to see the quality version or what?
No, I played on Series X, I had it in performance mode. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I wonder how different the game looks when you change it to like 4K, high quality, that type of thing. So, but I haven't tried it out yet. So, all right. I think that's about it. Multiplayer. Have you tried multiplayer at all?
Get a Q-tip. You literally don't listen to me.
No. I'm saying, Paris, I'm talking in the beginning yes! when we got the codes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And you found matches? I couldn't find matches. That's
what
I
said. Well, maybe if you read your email, they had scheduled ones.
Well, I'm a busy guy, Paris. Hey. I'm not like you, hanging out in Vegas.
Well, you could have been. That was your fault, not mine.
No, that's not. Oh, blame it. You know what? Say that to my wife. Say that to her.
Nope, I will not.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Blaming me. Wow, punk. All right. So for those that are listening to the podcast, I'm going to post a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 code under the description of this episode for the podcast version, and also for on Twitch, I'll put it there too in the chat. So if you guys want to play it, you can play all platforms. I believe the PlayStation version just came out first. PC and Xbox comes out next weekend. I believe Thursday or Friday, something like that. So there you go. For those that are watching on Twitch. And for those that are listening, go to the description. It's there. All right. So, Paris, a couple things before we wrap this up. And I had no idea. I saw this online. I was like, oh, okay. I should go back and check it out. So Redfall updated 60 frames per second now.
Yes, it is. I've personally not checked it out yet, so I don't know the experience. So they added performance mode so you can get 60 frames, and they made some gameplay improvements as well. I guess there's stealth now. AI has been improved as well. Overall, for a first update, this is a pretty solid update for it. And obviously, we know the legacy of Redfall and how it launched. So it's good to see that Arkane did stick to their promise, added 60 frames, and they're not giving up on the game. You know, I remember Phil Spencer and Matt Booty have both talked about Redfall and saying that they're committed to the game and Arkane fixing the game and improving it. You know, this potentially could be a No Man's Sky cyberpunk type of deal where it launched in a bad state, and over the next couple of years, it could have a redemption arc. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I've not checked it out for myself, so I can't comment on any of the improvements, but some of the things I've seen online, people talking about, people seem to be enjoying it, which is good. I had so much hope and promise for Redfall pre-launch. Okay. Like, I was thinking, man, this could be fun, co-op, the vampire stuff. This could be a lot of fun. And it was just ultimately just disappointing, you know, when we play the final version of it at review. So to see them stick to it and try and fix it is a good thing. And to be clear, even at launch, I played on PC, so I was playing at 60 frames. So 60 frames wasn't the reason that it wasn't a good game. It was a lot of the gameplay stuff. So the fact that they're trying to fix the AI, again, it was an arc. Like, I was shocked being an Arkane game, knowing their legacy with, like, Dishonored. I remember I tried to sneak up on somebody and I couldn't, and it didn't do nothing. I was like, wait, what? This don't make no sense. So the fact that they're fixing that to start is good. It shows that they're listening to feedback from the community, and hopefully, like I said, this game can have a redemption arc.
You know, I was very disappointed. And it wasn't because of 60 frames, because I was playing this on PC. It was more the AI. Some of the quests, I was just stuck. I couldn't go and complete it. It was very disappointing, that part, you know. So, by the way, Paris, another thing too, and I might do this today. I'm not sure, because we might go to Target to do a couple of things, but it looks like Super Mario Brothers Wonder, there's a demo at Target stores.
Yes, I heard that. I did hear that. Yeah, that's cool. I might have to go peep that myself.
Yeah, so it's actually Target, Walmart, and GameSpot. GameStop, yeah. So I'm excited for this game, man. This looks a very different Mario Brothers game. And I know there was like a preview coverage that came out a couple of days ago too, of people that already played the game. They got invited to go to Nintendo in Seattle to get some hands on. So I'm very, very excited for this one, man. It's just a couple days away, man. Actually, 12 days away. And we'll get to see this game, man. So are you planning to get it day one? Are you going to wait for reviews or what?
Dude, I don't need no freaking review.
It looks good. Yes. It looks good. Oh, man, that game looks dope. I can't wait. Can't wait, man. So, yeah, so this is the first 2D Mario game since Super Mario Brothers U in 2012. It's been a while. But you know what I would like to see? If they could bring back Galaxy. Hopefully in the next...
Well, what do you think you're about to get this time next year? That's exactly what you're about to get.
Yeah, that's not Galaxy, though.
You don't know... Oh, my God. Okay.
That's not Galaxy, but... Go ahead. Go ahead. Everything bothers you. I can't even sneeze and he gets mad about it.
Never mind. You freaking negative Nancy. Whatever. Believe what you want.
Well, look, somebody in the chat said, Hayes the King, Wonder is going to be bigger than Spider-Man 2. I don't know, man. The both games are going to be, it's going to sell a lot. Spider-Man.
You know what?
What?
If he's talking sales, I can believe that.
Sales?
I actually can believe that. I got.
Well, there is more Switch.
There's more Switches, number one, and it's freaking Mario. It's a 2D Mario. I can see that game out. So, I mean, because and Nintendo Mario games typically have a long tail anyway. I mean, look at Mario Kart. That thing, that's a cash cow. It just keeps selling. I believe it. Yeah, I think that very well could happen. But being serious for a second, what I meant by the Galaxy thing is, we're getting a 3D Mario at launch for Switch 2. Oh, yeah. And when I think Galaxy, like even though Odyssey isn't Galaxy, it's called Galaxy, it's basically a spiritual successor to Galaxy. And I think whatever this is going to be will be in that same vein. You know what I mean? So that's mm-hmm. how I'm looking at it when I say we are kind of getting like a Galaxy next year for whatever the Switch 2 launch is.
Yeah. No, I agree. Agreed. I wonder if we're going to get to hear about the new console very soon. Is it possible during the Game Awards? I mean, I really doubt that, but you never know.
Yeah, I got a feeling Nintendo waits until 2024. I can see this being late January, February, getting a reveal and then saying, oh, it'll be out September or whenever they decide to put it out. I'm going to lean towards that. Keely getting a Switch reveal. I don't see it. No.
Nintendo doesn't really depend on an event to reveal something. Like, they could just release a video on YouTube and that's it. That's what they have to do.
By the way, I'm gonna make everybody on the podcast and the chat mad right now. When we end this, I gotta tell you something offline because I do know about something that's gonna get revealed at the Game Awards. I'll tell you offline.
Wow. Just like that?
Yep. I'll tell you offline.
Wow. People are going to be mad here. People are going to be mad here.
Hey, I'm not a leaker. I don't leak stuff. I stay in the privates.
Okay. All right, well, I know it's not an old Switch. Switch 2. That is that.
Nope.
All right. Cool. All right. So anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up? No. We'll do like after show, but.
Well, it's super quick on. Oh, no. Let's talk about NZXT.
Oh, well, go ahead.
So I was fortunate enough. NZXT reached out and we partnered with NZXT and they wanted to make sure that I had the best PC on the market for gaming and content creation. So they sent over their Player 3 Prime PC, which is an absolute monster. I will just off the top of my head run down the specs right now. People can go on my social media. I've already posted pics and a video, but it's an Intel i9-13900. The GPU is an RTX 4090. It has 64 gigabytes of DDR5 RAM in it. It's the H9 Elite case. It's the NZXT H9 Elite case. The NZXT, what is it? The Elite Kraken 360 RGB all-in-one cooler as well. 1,000-watt PCU in it. And it came with 2 terabytes of M.2 storage. I have already upgraded that to 6 terabytes of M.2 storage as well. So it's a freaking tank. Absolute tank. I'm actually going to, I have it partially configured now. I'm still on my old PC, but I'm going to do that swap here today. Mm-hmm. And then my second PC, I'm basically going to have, the plan is one will be dedicated to content creation. That's going to be the 6 terabyte one. My other one will be dedicated to gaming. And then when I'm streaming, now I can have a machine that's dedicated to stream so that I don't have to use up resources while I'm gaming. So I can game at a full experience as well. So yeah, appreciate NZXT for this partnership. And there's more to come.
More to come. I'm jealous, Paris.
Yeah, you should be.
I should be. You know what? I am jealous. I am very jealous. But no, shout out to them. I know they sent me a while back. This is like 2 years ago. They're one of their mics. Actually, the PC that I got now, I bought that PC from their website, the NZXT website. And I played everything on this one, man. And you've seen it, Paris. It looks fantastic. Yeah, it's black and everything. Specs. Mm-hmm. Specs is different. I think I have a 4080 now. You have a 4090 on yours, but it's fantastic. I love this PC so much. And this is my first gaming PC ever. And I got it from that website. So when Paris talks about this, it's legit. It's not no BS.
NZXT, I mean, even prior to this, forget the partnership. The PC I had two PCs ago, the one I had prior to the one I built in 2020. That was mostly NZXT, like the case was, the cooler was as well. They've always made quality parts. I mean, motherboards, cases, coolers, etc. So NZXT, I mean, is one of the top tier PC brands out there if you're looking to peep. But the whole point of this Player 3 Prime is, and they have obviously the Player 1, Player 2, and they just came out with a creator build as well, is these are pre-built, so you don't have to put any thought into it. And if you price them out compared to you buying all the parts yourself and building it, it's a little more because obviously they got to make somewhat of a profit, but it's nothing crazy. So if you're kind of a novice into PC gaming, just looking to get into it, and you're a little intimidated about building your own machine, NZXT is definitely an option to do. And even if you're building your own PC, definitely look at NZXT parts because it's great.
Yeah, highly recommended, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this is what we're going to do next week, guys. So Sunday, there's not going to be no live show. But Paris and I, we're going to have a review of Spider-Man 2, which comes out Monday morning. During that time, Monday morning, that's Monday. What day is that? Monday the 18th, I believe?
16th.
I'm going to be live on Twitch. Paris might join, might not. I don't know. I'm going to be playing the original Miles Morales on PC. But I'm also going to have discussions about our review, about Spider-Man 2, everything like that. And I'm also going to be talking about, you know, because, again, it's Hispanic Heritage Month, so I want to talk about the culture, being a Latino, and there's a lot of stuff there that I really want to talk about. We're going to walk around the neighborhood, show you the Dominican. Again, this is the Miles Morales one. This is not Spider-Man 2. I'm going to be streaming the old one. But I just want to show you the neighborhood and everything like that for those that have never played the game and just talk about being a Latino and seeing this for the first time back in 2020 when the game came out for the PS5. I think it's going to be a great conversation. So yeah, and this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about other stuff too that I think is very, very important. But I think it's going to be a fun stream. So that's going to be Monday, October 16th, starting at 7 a.m. By the time our review comes out, I also will be live playing and all that stuff. So yeah. Anything else, Paris, from there?
I think that's it.
Yeah, it's game of the year stuff coming up. Like it's almost ending. There's going to be a great discussion. Like, yo, what is going to be the game of the year? It's going to be hard this year. I think this is the hardest year out of all years that we've been doing this. Because there's so many great games out at the same time. From January all the way to now, it's like, it's a lot. It's going to be a lot. Great debates. Can't wait for that, man. Can't wait for that. All right, guys. So we're going to go straight to the after show here. But for those who are listening to the podcast, thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with our Spider-Man 2 review. Don't miss it. All right. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.